Hey, this is in my humble opinion with Chaz Douglas, man. I got a long time friend on with me today. This is Ray Eldar. I'm sorry, man. What, how you pronounce your last name? Because we just call you Ray.
Ray Elizalde, man.
Hey, man. Thanks, Ray, for coming on, man. I appreciate you.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you reaching out to me.
Hey, man. So I'll start off with this, Ray, man. Like, you know, we got the NBA playoffs going to be coming up soon. And then we got, you know, the NCAA now. I was like, man, one of the things I said I'm going to start off with was this. Ray, I hadn't said this to anybody. You know, I ain't really playing like that now. But, Bray, man, back in high school, man, I ain't want to guard you, man. Like, you was hard to guard, man. Like, I would, you know, like, you know, back in the day, you don't want to admit certain things, but it is what it is now. But, Ray, man, like, you was strong, you was fast, you was quick, you had handles, man. And it was like, you was like Iverson because you always was attacking. Because it was like certain people you'll play where it's like they not going to come at me the whole time. You know what I'm saying? So, Ray, you was that dude where you going at somebody the whole time that you trying to play. You know what I'm saying? So, it was always like, you was always on your heels because it was like, he going to come at me all like the whole time. Anytime he got the ball, and even sometimes when you don't got the ball, you would like cut or, you know, you would do stuff. So it was like, you always got to pay attention to you.
Yeah, man. And, you know, that's crazy that you say that because I felt the exact same way when I played against you. And I remember I had left Bridgeport for a little bit and went to a private school. And then when I came back, I just remember everyone was always talking about, oh, yeah, Chaz, Alden Southfield. Alden Southfield. They'd be like, man, Chaz, man, he got the handles. And, you know, and I think I told you this before, but I don't think I've ever really told anybody ever else. And I think I've at one time in my entire life that I've been crossed so bad where I remembered it for the rest of my life. And it was, I was guarding you and we were playing, I think it was either freshman year or sophomore year practice for the team. And we were at Schlugbeer Elementary on the carpeted gyms.
Okay. Okay.
And I remember we were right up top at the top of the key and you picked up and I bit and I went for it. And I just remember getting crossed. It was one of those crossovers where if someone got that on tape, it'd be all over the internet probably still today. So, I mean, it was the same. I felt the same way guarding you, man. So
it was like, but for real though, it was like that because we were like similar players as far as like similar, you know, similar athletic ability. Both had real good handles, quick, and just always attacking, you know what I'm saying? So, I think I do remember you telling me that now. Like, you was like, man, I ain't never got crossed like that. And it was like, but right, I guess it was one of those things where it's like, you were like a good, like, you were really good, man. Like, so you had good defense, you looked good offense and defense. So, it wasn't easy to do. It wasn't like I could just go down there and just break you. I was really probably trying to do that because I had to, because that's how good you were.
That's great, man. Yeah, man. It was, we had some players in our class, man. We had some guys that could really rock, man. I just remember it was tough, man. Tough playing with you guys sometimes in the summertime. And then, I mean, in the summertime, but in like the lunch times in middle school and stuff like that. And then in high school, it was just, yeah, man, you were that guy. So, I mean, I appreciate that. I take that as a compliment because I felt the same way about you. Scared to guard you. I didn't want to become no one to put me on a highlight reel.
Yeah, no, it's the same thing. Hey, so what would you say, man, like, what would be like a highlight, one of your high school highlights as far as you, you know, because I know you wrestled, you played basketball, I believe you played football. Like, what was some like a highlight in high school for you?
For me, man, I mean, I played basketball a little bit on the team, but I was really focused in. I had been wrestling already since I was probably like 9 years old. Mm-hmm. I'd wrestled two seasons a year for 9 years. So I think the highlight of my high school career, which, and you know, as crazy as because I didn't wrestle for the Bridgeport High School. I wrestled for Bridgeport Pitbull, which was at the time was like an AAU traveling team, but it wasn't as like wrestling didn't have this traveling, like powerhouse behind it. Like AAU basketball was back then. Yeah. It was just freestyle Greco-Roman or MMWA. So, but I think the highlight of my career was, my junior year and, at 135 pounds, which is crazy because I know some kids that are in like ninth grade that are 150 pounds, but 11th grade at 135 pounds, I took a state title.
Really? I didn't know that, man.
Yeah. See, right. And a lot of people don't know that. And then I wind up going back the next year and winning it again. So I think in high school, even though that wasn't a high school highlight, I think sports wise, but I was in high school and that was the highlight for me. I didn't play team sports too much. I played our freshman year and I played a little bit on our sophomore year. But other than that, it was wrestling. So that was probably like my career highlight for me.
Yeah, I mean, when I say high school, it didn't have to be at our high school, but just like in our high school time. So, and I think that also made you a good basketball player too, because like you didn't mind getting physical.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like that was nothing to you. You was used to like the physicality. So that's awesome, man. Hey, man. So your son is, you know, he plays, you know, and played at Newville. High school football. I'm assuming he does track too, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Okay. He's running track right now too. So that's exciting.
How would you know? Because I know you, man. You're a real supportive dad. You always there for him and with him. How has like the game of basketball, high school basketball? How has that changed since when we played?
It's really the same as, and I feel like college basketball, you get a lot of that little bit more aggressiveness. But I think sometimes, for me, I think in high school is kind of really similar to NBA. Well, from what I've seen, it's not as physical. Everybody wants to be a shooter.
Okay.
Nobody, I see guys even on our own team would pass up a layup to sit back or pass up on a fast break. And pull up on a three. And that's crazy to me.
They let them do that at Newville? Because I know Newville's kind of strict. I mean, they kind of like real strict or whatever.
Well, we had the Jaeger twins on our teams, which are amazing, amazing twin boys that are from Saginaw. Really great players, great athletes, and they probably are top two shooters in the state somewhere.
Okay,
on the line. So we had those two guys who are just known for pulling up at half court, 5 feet out from the 3-point line, and just draining it. So it wasn't really frowned upon. And then, of course, because they could do it, everybody feels like they can shoot, which. We have good shooters, but I think that's the thing that's changed the most in basketball, really, for me, is nobody wants the easy basket. Everybody wants to take the 3-pointer, and that's a little bit of it's not a big man's game anymore. It's a shooting guard's game.
Yeah.
And so I think that's probably the biggest change from when we played.
Yeah, this is last year in high school. And man, I'm one of the reason why I wanted you on, man, because is you know you post a lot about Tristan. I'm saying his name right?
Yep.
Okay. You post a lot about Tristan, man. Like, you all have a great relationship. What would you say, like tell the listeners, like the time you put in to your son, and like the benefits of that time you like invested in him? Because I mean, it seemed like y'all, you know, it looked like y'all have a really good, great relationship. You know what I mean? Like he's kind of like, it seemed like it's similar to like me and my dad, because it's like, even in high school, I didn't mind hanging out with my dad. And it seemed like that is with you and Tristan, man. So tell the listeners about like that relationship and then like the benefits of all that time that you put into him.
Well, you know, basketball was always my first love. So for me, I was really big to introduce basketball and sports in general to my son as a young age. And I think that that helped build on our relationship, is that we found a common area of something that we both enjoyed and we loved. And growing up, I got to see him play different sports and actually find something that he loves. And as much as I love basketball and I love basketball for him, he found his love in football, which I can appreciate. And so, for me, man, you know, I my father wasn't around. He wasn't around. And I had Tristan at a very young age. I had Tristan at 19.
Okay.
Which isn't really young, but it is still young. Yeah. And, I think a lot of the way that our relationship is that Tristan's got to see me as I've grown up as well. Okay. It sucks because I wasn't in a position at the time to know how to be a father. So I had a lot of growing up myself. So we have this relationship where it is a father son, but it's also like brother, little brother, best friend vibe, because I was a kid myself growing up and raising a kid. And shout out to to the people in our family and his family, because, you know, it takes a village to really raise a child. But for me, I just wanted to make sure that I was there for him, and I wanted to make sure that he knew that I was there for him. So whether that's seeing him every single day or calling him every single day, or, I mean, I don't miss sporting events. I go to every single sporting event, and I'm blessed to have a career where I am able to take the time off, and they're able to work around those kind of things. So I'm able to share those events and those life experiences with them. And it's been a blessing because now my son's graduating high school this year. And he had, I think, 8 offers to play football in college.
Okay.
And he actually committed to SVSU here in Saginaw to play college football as a wide receiver. So, the benefits of it has just been great because, we have this great relationship. We are able to hang out still. Yeah. And spend time with each other. And whether we're sitting there talking for an hour or we're just sitting there watching TV, we're able to enjoy each other's company. And I think that that's big. And I think that that was a lot of things that were missing in my life because of the relationship that I didn't have with my father. So I just wanted to make sure that I was being the father that I wish that I had. And being there as much as I could, and it's been great. And my son's on spring break right now in Siesta Keys for his senior year with some friends, and he calls me and texts me about the basketball game while he's on spring break, the women's basketball game. And so the relationship has been great, man, and I've benefited it because it's honestly, man, without my son, I was actually in a very, very bad place before him and headed in the direction where there probably wasn't going to be a future. And the fact that God blessed me with my son at that time, God knew that I needed him to save me as much as he needed me around. So it's been a blessing.
Man, that's great, man. Like, what would you say, like, what advice would you give to, you know, some men? Because, I mean, I work in the schools, been working in school for a while. There's a lot of young men that don't have fathers. So, like, what advice would you give, like, you know, somebody that's younger that has a son or just, you know, has a daughter or a child? What advice would you give that person?
You know, I would probably say to a younger person with a kid that, you know, it's not going to be easy. But the best things in life aren't easy, and to be blessed with a child, that's a blessing. That's something from God, and he gave that to you, and he gave it to you for a reason, and you're either going to create something beautiful or destroy it. And, being young and having a child is even more hard than it is as an adult. And I mean, because you're not financially set and you don't have your own house and car and you're able to provide for the child as much as the child should be provided, given the things that he needs. But I would say that, like, it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if you're not there for that child will always have that missing piece in them. No matter what, no matter if someone else steps up and becomes a father, in that child's heart, there will always be something missing. And that missing part is something that no one can explain how much it hurts. Mm-hmm. And you can be as strong as a person as you want to. And, you know, I'm 37 years old, about to be 38. And, you know, the thought and the fact that my father wasn't around still bothers me to this day. Even though I've grown up, I've forgiven him and I've moved on. But when you think about it, and I sit there and think about it, it still hurts. Mm-hmm. And you're going to set someone up for the rest of their life to be in pain. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And a lot of times it's a cycle. And those people go on to do that to their kids, and then they go on to do that to their kids. And, you know, you just want to make sure that you break that cycle. And like I said, it's not going to be easy. I promise you it's not. There was times that I thought that it was never going to be good. Mm. And you know, 18 years later, and I could say that I'm in the best spot now. And I can appreciate the journey that it's taken. And I think that my son can appreciate that as well, because I had every opportunity to leave. My dad wasn't around. No one showed me how to be a father. My mother was a single mother. She worked all the time. So I spent a lot of time by myself. So I had every excuse in the world to just give up, but I didn't want to be that type of person. Yeah. Nobody should want to be that type of person. So I think that that's the best advice that I would give anybody, is just it's not going to be easy. You're going to have some battles, but I promise you that at the end of that journey, that road is going to be paved with gold.
And that's an awesome testimony, an awesome story, man. What do you think, like, he kind of like learned from you through that journey, where he, you know, because you say like he's seen a lot of things too, like as far as maybe some struggle or some hardship. What do you think you know he like learned from you about that?
I would like to think that he learned from my mistakes. I've been very open and honest with my son about the life that I had before him and the mistakes that I've made. And a big thing I push on my son is don't have children out of wedlock. Mm. And, you know, even though he is a child that I had out of wedlock, I pushed that on him. And you know, and he has a girlfriend. He's had a girlfriend since he was the same girl since like seventh grade.
Oh, okay.
In love, high school love. And I've always preached to him, man, hey, listen, wait to get married. I think that that's one of the biggest things that a lot of our generation has been missing out, is that we're so we're in a hurry to have children, but we're not in a hurry to take the steps that we're supposed to take in order to have children. We want to rush the process. And I think the biggest thing that he would take from me is that he learned a lot from the mistakes that I've told him about that I've made. Mm-hmm. And he knows how to communicate how he feels about that to me. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's probably, I think that he learned from my mistakes.
That's good. That's good. Hey, man, one thing I say, man, is, you know, whenever I see like classmates and, you know, people that I was cool with, you know, cause I see you post, you know, with your fiance now, Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
And it, man, one, congratulations on the engagement and everything. And I'm just happy for you, man. Like, that's awesome to be, to find that. Man, like, y'all seem like y'all, you know, y'all beautiful couple. Y'all seem like y'all love, you know, y'all loving, you know, like that seem like that's one of, like, your best friend and your girl. What experience, because you talked about, you know, Tristan learning from your mistakes. What, like, lessons learned or experiences that you needed to learn or go through to like prepare you for a woman like Whitney? Cause she seemed like she like got it all together. Like she seemed like she that woman that will make you a better man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 100%. I think that the relationship that I have with my fiance is just as big of a blessing as the relationship I have with my son. And I was already in the, it did take me a little bit longer than some people, but not all people, because everybody's journey is a little bit different. It's never a sprint. It's a marathon. And it took a little bit longer for me to like settle down and like figure out what I wanted to do with my life and what direction I wanted to go. And right when it did, right when I settled down and I chose the direction and I chose me instead of everything else, is right when God placed her in my life. And I had to really, you know, I went through some in life at my younger ages. You couldn't tell me anything. I felt like I was on top of the world and everything that I did. And I was very, very, very big ego.
Okay.
Then I had stopped working in the career field that I was in, and I went into auto sales, selling cars. I went into selling cars, and this is when my life really changed, and this is what I had to learn, is I had a very humbling experience. I was now working with men who had been doing something for 15, 20 years, who were making $100,000 every 3 months. I was running into guys who were making 30, 40 grand a month.
Wow.
Selling cars. And I really quickly realized that I was not in the position that I thought I was, like financially. And just like in the alpha male chart, I thought I was this top great guy, had everything going for himself in the world. And then I really had a humbling experience when I realized that the things that I was doing in life were childish compared to the things that adults really do. And I had, working in the car business was really an eye opener, because, there you have to be very, very, very aggressive person. Almost not conniving, but a little sneaky and stuff like that. And very, very, very pushy of a person. And I've just never been that type of person. I'm a very like, hey, do you like this? If you don't like it, I get it. I understand. On to the next one. And you can't be that type of person in that kind of business. And, around COVID time, everything shut down. I was selling cars, but I wasn't selling cars as much as these other guys were. And being a man and not making the money that you think that you should be making at the age that you are is very humbling, and can quickly turn into a depression. So I think that, I had a very humbling experience. I realized that the direction in my life that I was going was not a direction where anything could really benefit in the future. I couldn't really gain anything in the future. So, I had some times where it was COVID and everything shut down. I spent a lot of time by myself and a lot of time in my head. And I really had to step out of my own head and really humble myself and be like, all right, now, you know, it's time to really get your life together, because you are not getting any younger. Mm-hmm. So I think that I had a very humbling experience with that. Dealt with a little bit of depression. And that needs to be spoken about more often in men, because it happens a lot more in men, and no one likes to speak about it. And I think that the fact that I was able to pull myself out of that with the help of God and my family and my son, and that I had to go through those hardships and realize the life that I was living was not a life that God wanted for me. And if I didn't, I'm glad I figured that out, because it led me to winning.
Talk, like you said, we don't talk about a lot of mental, I mean, we do talk about mental health, but like, go into that. Like, how did you overcome that? What, you know, like, can you go into some, not detail as far as what you were going through, but just some like detail as far as how did you overcome that? Because that is the thing, especially during COVID. Like, I know a lot of people were getting depressed or were, you know, anxious or, you know, just because people were dying, a lot of stuff was going on. Like, what specifically, like, if somebody going through, a man's going through some type of depression, I know every case is different. What are some general things that they could do to get out of that or to overcome that?
You know, for me, it was a lot easier for me. I think that it is for some other people because, I was already kind of like a mentally, I felt like I've always been a pretty strong person. So that when I did fall into that area, that time of depression, it was very foreign to me. I didn't know. It was kind of like I got smacked in the face. I didn't know what was going on. My body never felt that way before. My head never felt that way before. It was just different, but I knew that something was off. It's first of all, you have to realize that there is an issue inside before you tell anybody else, before anything else goes on. You have to sit there and really be like, okay, I have an issue. There's something not right. And you have to accept that there is something that isn't right. And you have to want to get out of it. A lot of people, I think, use it as a crutch. And use it as, and not everybody, a lot, some people use it as a crutch and as a way of, as feeling down about themselves. And then they just dwell on how they're feeling. And then they just keep feeling bad for themselves. And, you know, it's super weird. And I've never told anybody this ever. One of the big things that helped me get out of it, when I was feeling down was I heard this thing that Beyonce of all the people, Beyonce, Beyonce said, and you know, I heard her say this and it really, 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 really stuck with me. And she said, when she fell down and she was getting depressed or in her head about something, she allowed herself one day to feel bad for herself. One day.
Okay.
And then after that, she got to work on how to fix it. Mm. I just knew that I didn't want to be in that place for forever. It didn't feel good. And as a man, you don't know who to talk to. You can't talk to your guy friends a lot because your guy friends are not, they don't know how to deal with that because they're in the same boat as you are. Nobody's taught them how to open up and how to speak to them. And then you have your mother around, but the relationship my mother and I have is my mother is my rock, but she's a very, very, very religious person. And some of our ideas don't connect. So it's very hard to connect with her sometimes on those kind of things, because right away she'll say, oh, we'll just pray about it. And while that might be the greatest thing that you can do at that moment, I just needed someone physical in the area, like physically in front of me to hear me out. So it is tough. It is tough. But thing about it is that the world is better with us in it. Mm-hmm. God put us here. We're here for a reason. And whether we never find that reason or anything like that, we have to find joy in at least being here. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to create your own joy. And there's a lot of times where some of us are just not in the same position as other people. I learned that. My son goes to Nouvelle, and there's probably five of the richest people in the Tri-City area's kids that go there. Mm. And, you know, and you do a lot of comparing, but comparison is the thief of joy. Mm. And one of the things, you know, that is really, I think, is destroying our society right now and causing a lot of insecurities in men and women is just social media. So the comparison is a big thing that is hurting people. But God is the only other way, the only way that you can really help yourself be the person that you're meant to be and to pull yourself out of any kind of situation that you've been in. I really truly believe that. I don't think I believe that as much as when I was younger, as much as I do now. So I think that would be.
Ray, you said something that, you know, I can relate to, as far as, like, I remember I was dealing with like this breakup and, and, you know, this time, you know, it was during COVID too, you know, just finding out a lot of these lies and stuff like that. And one of the things is like, what you said is like, you gotta want to get better. And yeah. So it's like, whatever, you know, like I remember, like at this time, I couldn't stand this woman. Like I mean, it could have been some hate there, but I remember I was like, I gotta forgive her though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was like, I gotta want to forgive her. So I think that's big what you said. It's like, you gotta want to get better, or you gotta want to get help, or you gotta want to change the situation. You can't just, you know, like you said, feel bad for yourself, or, you know, so it, I think that's good. You gotta have it in your mind to want better, you know, so.
Yeah.
So what's the story like behind you and Whitney? Like, how did y'all meet? What's that like? What was that process like? How did she come into your life?
So, man, it's super crazy, actually. I had not been like, I had actually taken away a little bit of time away from dating and being out in like a social environment for probably the better part of maybe 2 years. Oh. I just found no joy in it anymore. I didn't find any joy in pointlessly dating. Being from Saginaw, it sucks because we live in such a small area.
Yeah.
I've grown up in this area in Saginaw and been out and about in this area. So dating out here is just tough because it's kind of like you're fishing in the pond that everybody had already caught and released back. It was tough. And so you're kind of just like chasing after, all right, so after you're done with that relationship, we should just try. And it was just exhausting. There was no joy anymore of finding someone and going out and then just casually talking to each other. And then there's just no joy about it anymore. So I actually took some time away and kind of like focused on myself. And then I decided to jump back in the dating pool for a little bit of time after about 2 years. So what happened is Facebook, oddest thing, right? Social media, that's like the dating of this era, is instead of going out and dating or walking up to someone in a bookstore, you're just kind of like dropping a DM in someone's box. But for me, you know, I was just joking around and decided, hey, you know what? Facebook has a new dating app Facebook Dating.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm like, I'm just gonna check it out, man. You know, what could hurt, right? I never in a million years would think that I would ever like meet someone that I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with. But so I just put my profile on there and, you know, let it go. I've probably been on there for about a month or so, and then I actually opened up my dating search for a broader area because I did not want to be in the Saginaw area anymore. Mm-hmm. Whitney and I connected on Facebook Dating, and she was from Grand Rapids. And I think we connected. The first thing I said to her was something like, man, you look like the love of my life or something like that. And she responded back. And the thing that drew me to her the most was that out of a lot of people that I have been dating, she was able to carry on a conversation.
That's big.
And that was big for, me.
Yeah.
Big. I mean, you can be as beautiful as you want to, but if the conversation was dull, it was just like, it was like nails on a chalkboard. So she was able to carry on a good conversation, and we text through the app for a little bit. And then, it was probably for like a week or two, we texted through the app. And then, the first time we actually sat and had a conversation was, I had got off of work and she had to catch a flight in Chicago, to go to Colorado. And she drove all the way there from Grand Rapids, and I think I was like 11 o'clock at night, and I stayed on the phone with her until she got to Chicago and jumped on her flight, and that was the first time we had like a over-the-phone conversation. Okay. And so that was big because we were able to text for a couple weeks, and the conversation was good through text, which is odd. Yeah. And then the conversation was great on the phone. I think the biggest thing for me for meeting her was the fact that she wasn't from Saginaw. And I say that because I found that if she was from Saginaw and we were able to be close to each other very early in our relationship, the relationship probably would have gotten physical a lot sooner. Okay. And I feel like that kind of was the reason why this works so great, because if it would have gone physical earlier, I don't know if we would have been on that. I don't know how I would have felt about it. The same, the fact that she lived so far away, we were able to learn about each other and create a relationship before things got physical. And that was big for me because, usually you're like, oh, pretty girl, go out on a date and whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times after that does happen, you kind of lose respect for each other. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we spent time, we got to know each other, and we essentially became friends, best friends, before it became a physical thing, I think is the reason why it worked out to the way that it is now, and the fact that we chose to spend the rest of our lives with each other, because we got to learn about each other. We got to find things out about each other that we didn't know, and actually put in the time and the work of dating before it became something more than that. So it was weird. It was because that's never happened to me before. And the fact that we got to sit there and we took a couple months to learn about each other and talk. And we would sit on the phone. I'd come home from work and I'd sit on the phone with her for 3 hours. I'd sit on the phone with her for hours before work while she was on break, while I was on break, texting back and forth. And for 6 months, I drove to Grand Rapids every other weekend. Okay. And just went out there and visited her. And after that, I mean, we developed a relationship that was beautiful, a relationship that I believe 100% God put this here for us. We found each other exactly when we needed to find each other, and not month or year sooner or later. It was exactly the right time, and it was exactly when we needed it. And, you know, and it couldn't have worked out any better because she works for Gordon's Food Service. She's a inside multi-chain representative sales. She lives in Grand Rapids. I live in Saginaw. 2 hour difference, drive. Yeah. Well, we decided we wanted to move in with each other. And, but I wasn't ready to leave my job, and she's not ready to leave her job. So she asked her job if she was able to do a work from home.
Oh, okay.
And her job was like, well, what are you trying to do? She's like, well, I'm trying to move to Saginaw. She's going to leave Grand Rapids and move to Saginaw, which was already weird because who wants to leave Grand Rapids to move to Saginaw?
Yeah.
But she asked her job if they would be willing to allow her to work from home and move to Saginaw. And they said, yeah. And so, I mean, how could that have not? Everything is just falling into place perfectly. And so we moved all our stuff to here to Saginaw, and we'll be living together almost 2 years. We'll be living together 2 years. And then by the time we move, by the time we get married.
Okay.
So yeah, man, it's weird. It's crazy that it worked out that way. And we found each other that way. So if Facebook dating was ever to let me like tell my story on there, they should do like a movie on us or something, because we found love on their website.
Man, hey, that's an awesome story, man. That's what's up, man. That's awesome. That, you know, and it's very encouraging, right? You know what I mean? Like, one of the things I want to do on this, on my podcast, is encourage people. And it's like, with your relationship with your son, your relationship with your fiance, and how y'all met, man. Like, I know this definitely is going to encourage somebody, inspire somebody, because, you know, people, you know, a lot of people in that have been in, are in, are also in that position where, like, I want to find somebody or I want to be in this relationship. And it's like, you know, you basically saying, like, it can happen. You just, you know, it's going to happen. You'll know when it's right, when it's the right time, the right person, like, everything will align, and you kind of will know that, man. That's awesome to hear that it worked out for y'all like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I said, I think most of my friends and family thought that I would probably be the last person to, like, settle down, get married, and have a family. Even my son said, I don't see that ever happening. But the way that it happened was, I mean, it's just a true testament to, it's not, God has a will and God has a way, and no matter what and how much we fight, his will and his way is gonna happen. So.
Man, that's
been good.
That's good, man. But before we wrap, man, you know, one of the things, you know, like, cause now that, man, talking to you again, man, I'm realizing, like, man, I forgot how much I had in common with you. You know what I mean? So, man, like, one of the things, like, I'm a big, you know, big superhero head, you know, DC, Marvel. And, man, you are very critical, man, of different movies, man. So, like, give me two parts. Like, give me, like, some of your top movies, like, you know, sci-fi, fantasy, you know, DC, Marvel, whatever, you know, you want to do. Give me some of those, a few of your top ones that you like. And then what are you looking for in a movie? Because it's like movies that come out, and, man, you just, like, you know, it'd be like, man, that movie wasn't that bad. But then Ray would be, like, trash in a movie. So, like, what are some of your top DC, Marvel, whatever you want to do, and then, like, what are you looking for in the movie? Because, like, I know you're real critical of those.
So I'm a big, before I was a Marvel fan, I mean, I like some of the Marvel stuff, and I like some of the DC stuff now. But I'm first and foremost, I'm a Batman fan.
Okay.
Diehard Batman fan. Can't no one say nothing about Batman to me. I am, that's my guy.
Yeah.
That's my guy. So, growing up, man, I, you know, my mother was, she worked a lot. So she was a single parent raising two children. So I spent a lot of time, and my sister is, 11 years older than I am. So when I became old enough to, like, really, like, figure out what I liked and stuff like that, she was already in her teenager years going off and doing stuff. And my mother was working. So spent a lot of time by myself. And what we had was Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends on VHS. And I watched that, and an amazing Incredible Hulk. And I used to watch the Incredible Hulk with Lou Ferrigno on TV when I was a kid. So, of course, Batman with, like, Michael Keaton and all that stuff. So I just fell in love with the movies. My favorite movie of all time, though, favorite movie of all time is Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay,
Arnold Schwarzenegger is my favorite actor of all time. Predator, I have watched probably 5 to 10,000 times. I know I know that movie from front to end, word for word, everything about it. So that's my number one favorite movie of all time. If we're going to go into next, I'm a big Star Wars fan.
Okay.
Big, big Star Wars fan. Always have been. I like all the Star Wars movies. Lord of the Rings. Anything like that, anything kind of like high sci-fi fantasy, I'm really big on. And, you know, to be honest with you, I'm not really big on the comic book movies because, Marvel and the DC movies to me, there's some good ones, there's some bad ones. For the most part, they're all kind of like just are, they're just okay. Mm-hmm. I grew up on the comic books. I love the comic books. And I feel like as of now, they change everything around so much where it's hard for me to not be critical of it because I've read something that I had enjoyed so much as a child. And then I go to see that in person, how they made it, the remake on it, and it's just completely different. So mm-hmm. I'm critical about it a little bit about that. But I like a good story. I like a good story. I like a good action. It has to be like the cinematics has to be great. The story has to be great. And there has to be some action. If you can nail all three of them, then it usually appeals to me. So I think that the changing of a lot of the movies and the characters and stuff like that were my favorite as a child is why I am so critical of a lot of the movies. And if it doesn't hold up to the expectations that I have, because I'm still holding on to those same feelings that I had when I was a child, I want those same feelings to resonate in the new movies. And when it doesn't, that's just, for me, it doesn't do anything for me besides just become a visual at that time. I go see every single movie with my son, and my son takes the time to go every single movie that comes out that I talk about, mm-hmm. anything that I go see, my son and I go to see, and we go okay. see it together. And, you know, I love movies growing up. I mean, I love movies so much that, like I was saying, I spent a lot of time alone and I watched a lot of movies growing up. So I actually took for a good part of maybe like 4 to 5 years of my life. When I was younger, I was like a movie collector.
Okay.
And I would go around to other places when I would be in different cities or whatnot. And I would look for these like resale movie shops. And I actually accumulated a 2000 DVD collection that I that my girlfriend, that my fiance is always like, we should just get rid of those. And they're like sitting in boxes in storage right now. But I have 2000 movies.
Wow.
Because I love movies that much. I love finding something. And a lot of them are old school movies from the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, movies that I've seen as a kid that I loved as a child, maybe one time. I'd go searching for it. And then when I found it, I'd cross it off the list. So I just, you know, I just look for something that I can really like enjoy. And it's hard to enjoy things when I hate remakes because they never remake them as good as they were before.
Hey,
except for that new Roadhouse. That new Roadhouse is pretty good.
I didn't watch the whole thing, but it was good. The parts that I've seen. So Ray, the question I have is like, okay, if you read the comics, because I know a lot of individuals that read comic books like that, they had the same, you know, take as far as they feel like the comic was better than the movie. Like, what? Mm-hmm. But wouldn't it be like you already know what's gonna happen? So don't you don't want that surprise? Like when they remake it, you don't like that if they remake it, because it's like. You wouldn't be so, you know, if you go to a movie, that's one thing I like about going to a movie that I hadn't seen before. Is like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I do like those type of movies when it's not based off of something that has already been made.
Oh, okay.
Of course everybody wants to be surprised in the movie and stuff like that. And of course I'd like things to be different, but when you change something completely to the point where it's almost not recognizable anymore, it's tough for me. It's tough for me. And it's not that it's not, it's a terrible movie. It's just that it's just not something that I enjoyed, as much as I might still enjoy the movie. I might watch it a couple of times. But it's just not something that I'm going to be like, oh man, this is on my top of my list.
This is something
I really like.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hate that they made, I don't like the fact like, so did you see about the new Fantastic Four? Did you see about that?
Tell me.
Have you heard anything?
What did you hear? Cause I mean, there's a lot of things that have been going on. Tell me about what you heard about it.
So I'm very big on just kind of keeping the comics the way that they were. Mm-hmm. And so the new Fantastic Four movie, Silver Surfer, one of the biggest characters in the Marvel comics, one of my favorite comic book characters, heroes of all time.
They gonna make it a woman, right?
They casted it as a woman.
I did hear that. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't like. I don't like when it's big changes like that.
Yeah, and I don't mind if you're going in a direction where you're creating a new character that's a woman. I have no problem with women lead movies.
Yeah,
you can do whatever whatever. But when you take a character that's been around for 70 years. That people have loved and cherished and read and seen things about and then you just like, you know what, we're just going to do this. It just feels forced. It feels like something's being forced upon us. And I don't care for those type of movies. And that kind of stuff bothers me.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. And I'm with you. Like I like women heroes and women, leading women, but like, I recently seen that maybe like this week where they said they're gonna make, you know, I didn't know how true it was. I just, you know, read like a thumbnail or something like that where they were gonna make Silver Surfer a woman. I'm not feeling that.
Yeah, this is weird to me. It's just like I just feel like there's no reason for it. But you know, it is the world's different now, and you know, people have their own reasonings behind it. And I mean, it's their movie, so they're able to do whatever they want to do. So I think that the way that goes around, or like the fact that they want to make James Bond. Like they wanted to change Idris Elba to James Bond. Yeah. And you know, I love Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Idris Elba is probably, but just keep everybody the same. And, and I know that a lot of times, I know being a minority male, I know that in the past we weren't respectfully represented in movies and on the big screen the way that we should have been. And I know that a lot of times in a lot of movies in the olden days, it was whitewashed, and you would take people that were of Caucasian culture and you would and present them as people of minorities. And I know that we didn't get the proper representation, but for me, I don't want to be represent. I don't want you to take someone that was already associated with this kind of this culture or this person and change him and make it a black guy or a Mexican guy, because that does nothing for us anymore. Yeah. Create something new and build a new platform based off of that character. And that goes for whether you're a minority woman or a majority woman or a man, woman, doesn't matter. I feel like if you want that respect that character has, you have to build it off of a character that you created and that whoever that actor is has made popular. James Bond has been made popular by 6 white men. Yeah. I don't want one black guy to jump in there and be like, and them being like, all right, well now it's fair. It's not fair. Yeah. So make 6 movies about 6 black guys that are running the MI6 the same way as James Bond does, and make him just as popular, and then I'm happy with that. It's just little things like that.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. Because like you said, the thing about, you know, especially with the Silver Surfer, is like we do have, you know, you got Captain Marvel, you got, you know, Scarlet Witch, you got a lot of women, you know, you know the invisible, you know, Sue Storm, you got a lot of women to represent, you know, movies. You don't have to, it's not like you got to make this person, you know, you got to make a character a woman to have these women. And the same thing with, you know, a black character. It's a lot of black characters, you know, that you can that's in other movies, you know, that you know, you got the Equalizer, you got, you know, it's so, you know, it's a lot of them. So you got different things. So I agree with you with that. Yeah, that's good. Hey man, Ray, man, this was good, man. I appreciate your time today, man.
Man, I appreciate you, man, reaching out to me.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I love what you're doing with your son, man, and I, you know, congratulations to him, man. I you know, because I'll tell you this, man, like, I don't know Tristan like that, but, you know, you and I are cool. I was praying for him, man, like, the last couple years, like,
because I appreciate it.
For him to stay healthy, you know what I'm saying, like, just playing, you know, football, I'm glad he got, you know, got the opportunity to get a scholarship, and, you know, he's staying home, you know, staying in Saginaw. Man, that's awesome, man. You know, because I look at it like, and there's no disrespect to you. I look at it like Tristan just kind of like took it to the next level. Because Ray, you was good. You were a good athlete, but it's like Tristan is just like on another level though. Like, man, it's like when I see him, like, man, he's like big, strong. I'm like, dang, this guy is. And I'll say this, you know, and I'm gonna wrap it up in a minute. But I'll say this, that's one thing that I kind of like notice about when I go to like high school games now, is like a lot of kids are big and stronger than when we were coming up. Like, because like Tristan's,
I don't even remember the kids.
Tristan's a big kid. I mean, like, he's not like, you know, like, you know, LeBron James, but he's like a solid kid though. You know, a young man. And so
if you've seen his mom, and she's shorter than I am, and I'm only 5'8". So she, and he's pushing, he's 6 foot, 5'11", 6 foot. And I don't know where, if he didn't look just like me, man, I swear he probably wasn't mine.
Man, I really like seeing that, man. I like seeing like when people have kids, your children, and it's like that child is just like an elevated version of them. Cause I said, man, you are a great athlete, you know, good basketball player. Good. I know you're a good wrestler as well. And it's like, he's just like, you know, he's just another level. He's just on another level than what you were on, you know what I'm saying? So it's good to see like that evolution from one generation to the next, man.
Let him tell you, and he'll be like, I'm basically just my dad 2.0.
That's what he said. So, yeah, because I was looking at some because I'm in the Detroit area, so I was going to see I'm close to like the some of the Catholic schools in the Catholic League, and then I want to, like, Tory Jackson is coaching at Detroit Catholic Central, which is in Nova. Yep. And so I went. They were playing Brother Rice, which Brother Rice is like 10 minutes from where I stay. This guy on Brother Rice, and Brother Rice, the Monty Williams' son is on the team, which he's like in the 10th grade. He's like 6'7", 6'8", solid. Like, I mean, obviously he got the, you know, he's going to be like, you know, he's going to have different advantages just because, you know, his dad, you know, he's going to have different resources that he can go to. But the point guard was like, he was like, I don't know, 6 feet, 6'1", but he was like really big though. Like, he, you know, you would have thought he was like a, you know, running back or something, but he was like really big. And I was like, man, you know, the guys that, like, the players today, if you're a smaller person, you gotta be in the weight room, because these guys, like the point guard, like, he'd be bringing the ball up, and it's like, if he bumps you, like, you're like, if you don't have any type of strength or like strength in your leg, like, it's like you kind of, he'll throw you off balance, and it's not really an offensive foul, because it's like they let you play a little bit, and it's like you really can't stay in front of somebody if you don't have the strength. And then defensive, like, if you got the ball, like, they can kind of like hand check you a little bit to slow you down. So it's like the guys today have to be, they gotta have some strength. And so, like I said, man, I look at Tristan, obviously you got to be strong to be a football player, but, you know, I know it really helps on basketball too. So, man, you know, like I said, man, congratulations to him, man. And I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you with, you know, your relationship with your son, happy with you, with your, you know, your marriage that's coming up. So, man, that's awesome, man.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you for reaching out to me, yeah, too, as man. Well. I appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah, no problem.
You know, I've been, man, my cousin and I have been thinking for a long time to doing a podcast based off of movies.
Y'all should do that.
Movies and we want to. And, you know, this is, I was just telling him, I was like, hey, man, I got my homeboy is going to call me on Saturday and we're going to do an over the phone little podcast, man. I'm going to fill it out, man. You know, we should really push into it. So I wanted to see how this worked out. Cause that was something that I've always wanted to indulge in a little bit.
Yeah, man, you know your stuff. So I think you should do it. I mean, I don't know if you want to do video, audio, but just let me know. I can help you, you know, with some stuff, you know, as far as like audio just helps, you know, for right now. Like I would like, you know, I would like to evolve to video as well. But right now, yeah. audio just like fits me right now. Just because it's like, I like, you know, I like having guests on, you know, like where I can mm-hmm. talk. And then a lot of times, you know, with scheduling and everything, you can't just have people on or, you know what I mean? Like some people don't want to be seen like that. So, it's working right now, but man, this is in my humble opinion with Chaz Douglas. I had Ray, man. Thanks again, Ray, for coming on.
Appreciate you, man.
Oh yeah, no problem. For my listeners, if you have a story or if you are interested or know someone interested in writing or publishing a book, you can go into ChazDouglas.com, ChazDouglas.com, and I love to work with you, man. Again, Ray, man, you may tell Tristan, man, I'm pulling for him. Congratulations to you and Whitney again, man. Have a good one.
All right, man. You too, man. Thanks again, man.
Yep.
Yep.